واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. InshaAllah ta'ala, today I wanted to discuss the issue that I have wanted to discuss for some time here in Philadelphia. And that issue is, who draws the line? Who among us, if there is one among us, to draw the line, to make the final decision between what is tawheed and what is shirk? What is iman and what is kufr? What is halal and what is haram? What is sunnah and what is bid'ah? What is sahih and what is da'if? Who is a mu'min and who is a kafir? Who is a sunni and who is a mubtadi'? Who is a muti' or obedient and who is a sinner? Who is a salafi and who is a khalafi? And a Salafi is the one who follows the predecessors, and a Khalafi is the one who follows those who came after them. Who are the people that we're supposed to be with? Who are the people we're supposed to be against? Who's the one that draws the line on these opposites? We have Tawheed and Shirk on one end, and we have many of the brothers, and everyone is a scholar, drawing the line to determine what is Tawheed and what is Shirk. Who's on the Sunnah and who's not? Who's a believer and who's a kafir? InshaAllah ta'ala, we just want to take a look at a few ayats to show that it's not anyone from among us who's going to draw that line. Because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, after I say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, قال الله, والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا, وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون. And this is the Surah An-Nahl, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and Allah has allowed you to come out of the wombs of your mothers not knowing anything. And then He gave you hearing, sight, and an intellect that perchance you may be thankful. No one in this room
had come out the womb of his mother knowing what was right and what was wrong, what was halal and what was haram, what was sunnah and what was bid'ah. Everyone came into this dunya not knowing anything, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us. Listen what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling us in his Quran to teach us that we don't know anything. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows and you all don't know. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is speaking to humanity. And Allah knows and you, humanity, you don't know. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the same Surah Al-Baqarah, قُلْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I command you to say, indeed I know that which you don't know. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, speaking to his messenger salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi and humanity, says, وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And this is in Surah An-Nisa, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and Allah has revealed to you, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah has revealed to you the kitab and the hikmah. The kitab al-Qur'an. And the hikmah, the sunnah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham ibn Abdul Munaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have sent down to you, and Allah has sent down to you the book and the hikmah, and he has taught you what you didn't know. This is what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is telling our Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he taught you what you didn't know. And the blessings of Allah on you are magnificent. Here is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaking about his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he didn't know anything except that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala taught him. So how much more does any one of us in this room or in any room, anywhere on the face of the earth, can stand up and say what he knows when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told his messenger that you don't know except what your Lord taught you. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, to keep driving this point home, to show us, to humble us, to teach us that in fact we aren't the ones who know. That in fact we aren't the ones who draw the line. And we have to keep quoting and quoting until we understand that it's not us who draw this line. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا يَتْمِنْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and likewise we have sent to you a messenger from among yourselves who recites our verses to you, and he purifies you, and he teaches you al-kitab wal-hikmah, and he teaches you the Quran and the Sunnah, and he teaches you that which you didn't know. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala here is telling us that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the permission of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is the one who teaches us that which we didn't know. And before that guidance, we were just astray. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. And we have sent a messenger from among the illiterate so that he can recite to them his ayat, referring to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and purify them, and teach them the kitab and the hikmah, because certainly before that they were in clear error. And this is the same for each and every one of us. that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from his sunnah, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا, and you will never find any change in the sunnah of Allah, that he has allowed human beings to come out of the womb of their mothers not knowing anything. And then that it's Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that has taught his messengers and sent his messengers to humanity to teach humanity what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala should have them to know. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I think it's time for us to humble ourselves and to know that we don't know except that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has us to know. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala teaches us how to know, as he tells us in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rahman, allama al-Quran, khalaq al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. Ar-Rahman, he taught the Quran, and he created human beings, and he taught them al-bayan, or explanation, or speech, or the things that they know, or however they translate that. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, first and foremost, is the one who is teaching us what we know. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the one that is teaching us what we know. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as he teaches us what to know, he tells us to go up, how to go about actually acquiring that knowledge that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is bringing to us. As he says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And I command you to ask the people of dhikr if you don't know. And the dhikr, a dhikr, is one of the names of revelation. Revelation is termed dhikr. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is commanding us to ask the people who know the dhikr when we don't know. So when we don't know something, we go to the people who know the dhikr. And the dhikr is revelation, and revelation is the Quran and the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way we know when at first we know that we don't know. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging us to seek this knowledge from the people of dhikr, from the people who know the revelation, he says, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم, in a hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and other than him. And this hadith is authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, seeking knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim. And this seeking of knowledge that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made compulsory on us, he has made that path, he has showed us that path in order to fulfill that which he has made compulsory on us, as he says, in sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. That knowledge is gained by seeking it. That knowledge is only gained by seeking it. Don't think that you can walk around and you don't read the Quran, and you don't read the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you don't go to the lessons. And if you go to the lessons, you don't memorize, and you don't understand what you're listening to, how in the world can you think you have any knowledge? How in the world do you think you can know when you came out of the womb of your mother not knowing anything, and you're not seeking, you're not treading the path that will allow you to know? Brothers and sisters in Islam, this issue of not knowing and seeking the knowledge is serious. And we hope that today, inshallah ta'ala, we will have been humbled enough to know that we don't know, and to know the path to know, and to start treading that path to know, and shutting up until we know. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us, and he was the best teacher, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, as he says in this authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. That certainly, or only, the cure for ignorance is the question. That's the only cure for ignorance, is the question. And that question isn't to anyone. It's to Ahl al-Dhikr. It's to the people who know revelation. The revelation of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, Al-Quran, and that which he has sent to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As some advice from one of the great scholars of Islam, and I'll just translate it, and it's taken from a book called Sirah A'lam al-Nubala, he has some guidance and some good guidance. And what we should be looking out for when we are attempting to know or to gain some knowledge. As Ali ibn Khashram, he said, I never saw Waqir with a book in his hand ever before. It was only his memorization. And this is a statement of praise for the scholar Waqir rahimahullah, that Ali ibn Khashram, and he's not the only one, but almost everyone that has met Waqir rahimahullah, when they are questioned about him, they say, I never ever saw him with a book. He memorized everything. This is Waqir rahimahullah. So he said, Ali rahimahullah ibn Khashram. So I asked him, what is the means or the way that I can increase my memory or to memorize? He said, if I teach you it, if I teach you the means to memorize, if I teach you how to memorize and to memorize, will you work by that which I teach you? You see, the scholars of Islam, the real scholars of Islam who have memorized and understood revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't play around. They let everyone know that this is serious. That we got to be for real when we're talking about seeking this knowledge. Because this ain't the knowledge of no chemistry or carpentry. How to fix a car or build a house. How to be an engineer or architect. This is the knowledge of the deen. If I taught you how to memorize, would you work by that which I taught you? He said, E wallahi, I swear by Allah, I'll work by that which you teach me when you teach me how to memorize. Waqir rahimahullah said, leave off sinning. I haven't found anything better for your memorization than that. How in the world can we arrogantly stand up and think that we know something after we came out of the wombs of our mothers? Just think about that womb you came out and how you came out. And think about even before that how you started as a little drop of sperm. And then you're going to stand up and act so arrogant as to say, I know, I'm the one to draw the line. Akhi, that's tawheed, that's shirk. Akhi, stay away from that, that's bid'ah. This is the sunnah. That's halal, that's haram. That hadith is sahih, that one is da'if. That brother right there is a kafir. That one is a believer. Those are the people we should be with, those are the people we should be against. These are the people who follow the predecessors, these are the people who follow the later generations. How can we be so arrogant to stand up and to attempt to draw that line when we know how big of sinners we are? And don't try to act like Abu Muslima is labeling the Muslims as sinners and everybody's innocent. وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. Everyone is a sinner. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, teaching those among us who sanctify themselves to a level that I'm on it. I ain't no sinner. Everything I believe is correct. And everything I do is right. And I don't speak except the truth. For you, this is what the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says in the authentic hadith, كل بني آدم خطا وخير الخطائين التوابون. That all of the children of Adam are sinners, and the best of the sinners are the repenters. واستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. This advice from the Shaykh Waqi' Rahimahullah is some advice that all of us need to jump on right now. We need to leave off that sinning so that perchance Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala can teach us. As Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. And fear Allah, and Allah will teach you. And fear Allah, and Allah will teach you. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, when He wants to teach His humanity, He's talking about teaching them the deen, teaching them the religion of Islam, teaching them the Quran and the Sunnah. Not to be a doctor of biochemistry or something, and to think that that knowledge is something, and to think that you have some type of taqwa because you're the finest heart surgeon in the world. Listen what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, listen what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to those arrogant among us who only know the worldly affairs and speak about the deen out of their ignorance. Listen what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Hakim in his Kitab al-Tariq. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبْغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٌ بِالْآخِرَةِ. That indeed, Allah Ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the affairs of this world, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. So don't go around thinking you somebody because you got a degree from some Kaffir university. If you don't know your deen, Allah Ta'ala hates you because of the knowledge you have of this world, being ignorant of the hereafter, knowing that He tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. To worship me because إِنَّ الْأَبَرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. Because certainly the righteous, they're going to be in Na'im. They're going to be in Jannah and paradise, enjoying themselves because they fulfill the purpose in life of worshiping Allah. And indeed the corrupt, criminal sinners, they're going to be in Jahim, the hellfire, for not fulfilling their purpose in life of worshiping Allah to prepare for the hereafter. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah hasn't given you your life here on this world, here on this earth, to be here forever, to live permanently. But this is only a testing grounds to see who is sincere and who is truthful and who believes and who's going to worship Allah from those who don't. This knowledge that has been made compulsory on us to know before we speak is the knowledge of this deen. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. Now whoever Allah wants any good for, He gives them the knowledge or the understanding of this deen, the practical knowledge and application of this deen. And don't confuse this gaining knowledge with just memorizing something and having it in your head. But you are ignorant if you know and you don't practice. The knowledgeable are only those who know and practice. And I remember giving an example the other day when I was in Philadelphia, and I just want to mention it again to make it very clear that you ignorant if you know and you don't practice. For those people who think that it's cool to memorize a few ayahs and a few hadith to beat the Muslims down with, and him himself, he can't even practice his deen. I know to get home from Philadelphia, I got to take 95 north because I live in New Jersey. And I know that 95 south, leaving Philadelphia, going 95 south, will take me away from my home. If after today I say Salaamu Alaikum brothers, أستودعكم الله الذي لا تضيع ودائعه, and I say I'm going 95 south home, would anyone think that I'm knowledgeable? Just because I know that 95 north takes me home and I'm 95 south takes me away from my home, and I say I'm going home getting on 95 south and I know better, you will call me a fool. Then we gotta call people fools if they know some ayahs and some hadith and they the last people to practice them. Let's not confuse the knowledge that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is giving someone or allowing someone to have by giving him the good understanding of this deen, referring to the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if Allah wants any good for someone, he will let him have understanding of this deen. That understanding has a practice with it. And let's not confuse it. And to show this a little more, there's another few verses of poetry that was said by one of the scholars, and they attributed to Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. They said that he said it to Waqir, the man who we were mentioning, rahimahullah, the one that never walked with a book because of his excellent memory. He said, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَقِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي قَالْ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ نُورُ اللَّهِ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْتَى لِعَاصِي. The Shaykh, and if it's Shafi and if it's authentic, and if it's not, it's just a piece of advice for all of us, that I complain to Waqir, my bad memory, and he said you should leave off those sins, because this knowledge, referring to the knowledge of the deen, is the light of Allah, and Allah doesn't give this light to a sinner. So brothers and sisters in Islam, this knowledge that has been made compulsory on us to seek, and we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to increase all of us in knowledge, it's not something that we have in our heads, but it's something that we memorize and understand and practice and nothing else. Brothers and sisters in Islam, what I'm trying to say is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone is the only one to draw this line, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the only one to draw the line, because nobody knows. And everybody is ignorant except the ones that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants good for by allowing them to memorize and understand and practice this deen. So therefore, none of us should be among those people who are so quick to draw the line at what is tawheed and what is shirk, what is sunnah and what is bid'ah, what is correct and what is wrong, when he's still sinning. And he still don't know nothing about this deen because of them sins he can't get off of his back. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we gotta stop beating one another down, trying to draw that line that only Allah, our Lord, can draw the line. As Allah tells us in the Quran, قُلْ إِنِّي عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي وَكَذَّبْتُمْ بِهِ مَا عِنْدِي مَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِهِ إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ يَقُصُّ الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْفَاصِلِينَ. And this is in Surah Al-An'am, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, making it very clear. As he says, I command you to say, indeed, I am on clear knowledge from my Lord, or guidance from my Lord, and you have lied or disbelieved in it. And I don't have that which you are so hurried, to get. Referring to those ignorant, disobedient Kafirs or Muslims, who are just so anxious to get the hellfire for talking about this deen from which they have no knowledge of.
Jazakallahu khairan, ya akhi. Bismillah.
Indeed, the hukum is for Allah alone. The decision, the judgment is for Allah. And He speaks the truth, or He narrates the truth, and He is the best of the dividers. He is the khayrul fasilin, or He is the best one to draw the line. To say that this is tawheed and this is shirk. This is iman and this is kufr. This is halal and this is haram. This is sunnah and this is bid'ah. This is sahih and this is da'if.
Jazakallah khairan.
This is a believer and that is a kafir. This is a sunni, that is a mubtadi'. A sunni or one who follows the sunnah, and a mubtadi' or an innovator. This is an obedient person, this is a disobedient person. This is a person who follows his predecessors, this is one who doesn't. This is one who is with the Muslims, and they aren't. Allah is the one who draws this line. He is the one who has the judgment. And the final say-so, and not anyone other than Allah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I didn't want to take the time to get into what is tawheed and what is shirk, or what is iman and what is kufr, or what is halal and what is haram, and what is sunnah and what is bid'ah, and all of the divisions. I didn't want to get into any detail. As when we come to speak today, or whenever I've spoken in the past on any of the lectures that I've spoken on, that these lectures are just general guidance, inshallah ta'ala, from Allah and His Messenger. Reminders to try to keep you focused, to keep you on that straight path, and not to get into the details of learning. But the details of this deen, we have to learn them by coming to the masjid regularly, by sitting down and listening to the people who have knowledge of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the way that it was understood and practiced by the early predecessors of this deen, namely the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their companions, and on, from among those people who followed them with what they were on. The only way that you get these details is from the masjid and the people who know, and questioning them about the deen. This is how you get these type of details, and today it's just a talk to try to help keep us focused. To put us in place. To show us where we stand. That we were nothing but ignorant, astray human beings, except that Allah guided us. And that we only learn that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to learn. And that if He has given us the success to know and be among those people who understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah, then inshallah ta'ala we pass it on. And we allow Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to draw the line. By teaching the Muslims, akhi, this is tawheed because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says such and such. This is shirk because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says such and such. This is iman because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says such and such. This is kufr because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says such and such. This is halal because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says such and such. This is haram because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says such and such. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is how we go about distinguishing one from the other. This is how we allow the line to be drawn. Not that brother such and such is going to say that that's authentic and that's not authentic, and he don't even know the Arabic language. He don't know the sciences of Hadith. He going to be arguing, debating, beating somebody down that something is authentic. He don't even know. He can't even remember if he heard the Sheikh correctly or incorrectly. He going to be saying that brother's a Muslim and that one's a kafir, because he's Sheikh such and such. And he thinks that because he's Sheikh such and such, he has the permission to draw the line. We ask the Sheikh, Allahu adhina lakum am ala Allahi taftarun? Did Allah give you the permission, or are you inventing a lie on Allah? Did Allah give you the permission to say that brother's on the sunnah, that's an innovator? That brother follows the predecessors, that one doesn't? That one's among the Muslims who we should be with, that's among the ones who we shouldn't be with? That's a sinner, that one's obedient? Did Allah give you permission to draw that line, or are you inventing a lie on Allah? Brothers and sisters in Islam, this judgment is with Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala alone, and those who have given permission to help draw that line and make it clear from among the messengers who have, he has chosen, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. But one point, inshallah ta'ala, we wanted to deal with from among these things. And this is a disease that has unfortunately afflicted the ignorant among us. And what I mean by the ignorant among us is the arrogant among us. And what I mean by the arrogant among us are those who know more than the everyday masses of the Muslims. Those who know more than the masses of the Muslims, but they don't know this deen. And the only way that they know this deen is through the language of the enemies of this deen. The brothers who only know about Islam through the English language. They have stood up to make themselves those who draw the line. What is right and what is wrong. And some of them couldn't even read their name in Arabic if it was right in front of them. And if they could, and they could read other than that in Arabic, they wouldn't even understand what they're reading. But it looks good to the everyday masses of us because we don't know much. These ignorant brothers who have taken it upon themselves to make themselves leaders among the Muslims, lords besides Allah and drawing the line, we want to talk about these brothers or the issue of saying this brother is a believer and this Muslim is a Catholic. This Muslim is obedient and this Muslim is a sinner. This Muslim follows the predecessors and this Muslim follows the one after them. This Muslim is among those who we should be down with. This Muslim is among those we should stay away from. We want to deal with this point because the brothers have gone too far. And I hope that the ayat and the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we just heard would be enough reminder for us, as much discouragement as we need to shut up. When it comes to saying that Muslim is really a Muslim and that Muslim is a Kafir. That Muslim is righteous and that Muslim is a sinner. That Muslim follows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and that one doesn't. That Muslim is the one who we should be down with and that one's not. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, as he prohibits us, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And I prohibit you from saying what you have no knowledge of. I have made it forbidden to you to say that which you have no knowledge of. Your hearing, sight, and intellect will all be questioned. When you know you don't know Arabic, and you know you don't know the Quran and the Sunnah, and you know you ain't on no level to be speaking about this deed to the level where you draw the line, to the level where you stay in that brother's honor, in that one's office, and you go ahead and do it anyway, know that the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. As if we're not going to be questioned anyway. If we were to be silent all day, we're going to be questioned about the deeds we do, the actions that we do. And brothers and sisters in Islam, alhamdulillah, that Allah has blessed us, those Muslims who speak English, to have so much of Islam translated into our language. Allah has blessed us to have people come speak to us and to quote the Quran and to quote the Sunnah. And then we're the first people to see how much of that we practice. How much of this Islam that we hear, that we practice. Many of us have read the Quran from cover to cover. Is your life an example of what's in that Quran? Brothers and sisters in Islam, we may be mistaken. And many times we are when we start drawing that line. We're mistaken a lot of times when we draw that line on individuals, saying this one is on that side and this one is on that side. And we just have to remember that yesterday, or the day before yesterday, or however you want to look at it, we was on the other side that we putting that brother on. For the guidance that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us, are we thankful that He moved us from this side to this one? If we are, then we need to start showing it. We need to start showing that we're thankful that Allah put us on this side and removed us from that side. And that we should keep this in mind when we're spreading Islam. And what I mean by spreading Islam is that when we don't understand the Arabic language and we don't understand the Quran and the Sunnah, then we should just be among those people who listen and say, I hear and I obey. We should be among those people who try to do good by passing on the deed, by saying, I heard Sheikh such and such say, in relationship to this issue, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the Quran, such and such. Sister, concerning that issue, I heard Shaykh such and such say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, such and such. And if someone objects to what we have to bring them, then we should be the last people to be arguing. On ignorance, are you going to argue with the people? On ignorance, that's what you're going to use to argue with the people? You know you don't know the Quran. And the Quran is only in the Arabic language. And not the Arabic, no offense to anyone, that's commonly spoken by the Arabs today, but the Fusha that was spoken by the best of mankind, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. He's relating, narrating, passing on that which you heard the knowledgeable people from among us teach you. And that's it. Brother, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I just give the English translation, the meaning of the hadith, whoever makes salah, then he should take a sutra, and he should get close to that sutra. If we remind a brother, helping him to understand the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he objects, I don't have to have a sutra. No need to argue with the brother, akhi. You know you don't know the deen. You did your job. You passed on the information you heard from the person you heard it after you memorized it and understood it. You memorized what the Shaykh said, you understood what the Shaykh said, and you passed it on. You've done your job. And if you want to do more, then you need to do that which the people before you did by leaving this world, leaving these worldly affairs and going in the path of Allah to learn this deen from the people who know this deen. And most of us haven't done that. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to increase those among us to do that. That if we haven't done that, we just need to be quiet. And don't transgress our bounds. Just be quiet. It's easy not to say nothing than it is to say something. So why are we so fast to saying something? I heard the Shaykh say such and such. I wrote it down and memorized it. And I'm passing it on to you. So that inshallah ta'ala you can benefit from the knowledge of that Shaykh just like I benefited from. If he objects, shut up. Simple as that. If he objects, shut up, because you know you don't know this deen. Just shut up. You've done your job. You passed on that which you've heard, memorized, and that's it. And if you want to do some talking, get in the path and ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to help you shake those sins and to learn his deen so that you can speak more. I'm trying to say shut up, and I want to use that word so we can understand that that's exactly what we need to do. We need to be quiet when it comes to talking about this deen if we don't know it. And stop putting people off the path when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the only one who judges. And that if someone is going to judge, he's going to be saying, قَالَ اللَّهُ, and he understands what he says. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and he understands what he says. And he knows that what he's quoting from the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ is authentic. And he understands the issue, and he's making it clear to the people. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in his Quran teaches us a point that I want us to keep in mind. And that is that all of us are well aware of our mistakes or our being incorrect or wrong or just straight up ignorant and don't know when it comes to the beliefs of the Muslims. We know that we don't understand or we don't have a lot of knowledge in how to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala properly. And we know that many of the things that come off of these tongues of ours, may Allah preserve them and forgive us from what comes off of them, is just a whole lot of sin. A whole lot of wrong. We know that. About ourselves firstly and foremost, and then maybe sometimes about our brothers. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is teaching us something here, and we need to learn this point so that we can use it when we look at the next person. Because these texts that I'm going to quote inshallah, we know them when it comes to me. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Astaghfirullah. Gonna make me a deviant? You gonna make me a sinner? You gonna make me guilty? You gonna make me a kafir? Don't you know Allah says? But when it comes to the next brother, this is when we need to work by these hadith. Because when it comes to us, we got those ayahs down already. We got those hadith down already. When it comes to us, and somebody else pointing the finger at us. But when we the one pointing that finger, drawing that line on somebody else, then we need to get up on these ayahs. Then we need to listen and obey and submit to that which our Lord tabarak wa ta'ala is teaching us in the Quran, as he says in Surah Al-Baqarah,
لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم والله غفور حليم.
Allah does not hold you to account for the promises that you made, not really intending to fulfill that, but that Allah will hold you to account for that which you really intended to do. And Allah is Ghafoor Haleem, forgiving and Haleem, or gentle.
We know this inside and out when we look at our sins, our mistakes, our ignorance, our falling short, our wrong. We know, Alhamdulillah, Allah is Ghafoor Haleem. But do we know it on the next brother? Do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَكِمْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا.
And Allah does not hold you to account for your mistakes, for those things that you have mistakenly done, mistakenly believed in, mistakenly said. Allah does not hold you to account for those things that you have done out of mistake. But He holds you to account for those things you did intentionally while you knew better. Intentionally with knowledge that you knew you weren't supposed to do that thing. Or that you were supposed to do it and you didn't do it. These are the things that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala holds us accountable for. And Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is forgiving and merciful. Ghafoor Rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hold us to account for those mistakes that we have. We know it. When that next brother states a belief of his and we see it to be incorrect, not in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah, on the understanding and practical application of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we see it from that other brother, do we ever think that it might be a mistake that Allah won't hold him accountable for? When it's on us, we see it clearly. When are we going to start seeing it on the next brother? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala teaches us, ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Our Lord, don't hold us accountable for our mistakes and what we forgot. All of us make this dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah answers the dua of the servants when they ask Him. The Muslims, they make this dua and Allah answers it. He doesn't hold us accountable, walhamdulillah, for our mistakes or the things that we do while we're forgetful. Alhamdulillah. And we praise Allah while we're saying Rabbana for ourselves. But are we considering our brothers? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes it very clear. As he says, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدَرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And this is in Surah Al-Nahl, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying, those people who have disbelieved in Allah after they had believed, those people who have made statements of kufr, hold beliefs in their heart that are kufr in Allah, who do acts of worship that are disbelief in Allah, shirkum billah,
whoever disbelieves in Allah after his iman. Those people are guilty, except, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, except the one who was forced to, and his heart is content with iman. Sometimes you may have been forced into a situation of this saying a statement of disbelief, or doing an act of disbelief, and your heart is content with belief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This isn't the guilty one. The one who has fell into kufr or shirk, bid'ah or sin, not intentionally falling into it, not knowingly and properly understanding that he was falling into that thing when he fell into it. Not that person is guilty. But the guilty one is the one who falls into it after he has believed, has knowledge, understands, and then out of his ignorance and arrogance, he disobeys and disbelieves in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is the guilty one, as Allah goes on to say in the ayat, except for the one who is content with kufr. Except for the one who has allowed his mind to understand and recognize that kufr, and then choose it as his way of life. That's the guilty one. Brothers and sisters in Islam, tell me which Muslim you know. And by what I mean by which Muslim you know, the one who says, I'm a Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Tell me which Muslim you know that you can stand up and swear by Allah and be ready to die on saying, I am certain that that brother is content and pleased and happy with kufr and shirk, and that's why I say that that's what he's on. Who among us can point his finger at a Muslim and say that he knows for a certainty that that brother understands, has knowledge, that what he's in getting into is kufr and shirk and disbelief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and indulges in it anyway, and he knows better? Tell me which Muslim we know is like that. That's the guilty one, not the one who doesn't understand, or he has something preventing him from understanding. And just because you heard both sides of the story doesn't mean that you understand. Doesn't mean that you reject the truth if you listen to both sides and you chose the wrong side. Is there any among us who is arrogant as to say, me, if I were to listen to two of anything, I would only follow the truth in it? Who's that arrogant to say that? Who's that high power? Who has that much knowledge to say that, me, I ain't never going to be wrong? When I have the choice of choosing that way and that way, I'm only going to choose the right way. Knowing that Allah says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ, and they will never cease to be differing. We differ. As Muslims, we've differed on many issues. We've differed. Which one is the one to say that in all of those differences, I have the truth that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants out of each and every one of these issues? In belief or in practice. And it ain't no difference between belief and practice. Both of them gotta be on it. You either on it or off it. And don't go around, as we keep hearing brothers say, if your belief is okay, everything else is okay. And if your belief ain't okay, then everything else ain't okay. What belief you talking about when you say that? That's what I want to know. Somebody said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I believe in resurrection. I believe I'm going to have to walk over that sirat. I believe over the intercession
I believe in the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe in the hawl of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe in Jannah, and I believe in the hellfire, and I believe that I'm accountable for what I say, believe in, and do. Is there any among us who can say to a Muslim, after he makes this statement, that your belief, if it ain't correct, everything else is jammed up, and then he brings a secondary issue in belief. Then he brings a secondary issue in belief, a belief that scholars have differed on. Some went this way, and some went that way. Some were correct, and some were wrong. And then we're going to make like, because he went wrong and it was an issue in belief, that he's out of it after he has believed in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Who in the world gave you that understanding? And who in the world gave you this understanding that when you believe right, everything else is okay? You say Ar-Rahman wa 'ala al-'arsh istawa. Ar-Rahman is high above his throne. That's the correct belief, and it is the correct belief as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said it in his Quran. And then you out there in riba, fornication, drinking, friending the kuffar and loving them, and then you act like you okay because you say Ar-Rahman wa 'ala al-'arsh istawa. You ain't paying those zakat, you ain't treating your wife right, you're raising your children up as kuffar in the land of the kuffar, in the schools of the kuffar, in the neighborhoods of the kuffar, in the clothes of the kuffar, and you walking around talking about, if not because my belief right, I'm okay. Who in the world gave you the permission to say that? Allahu azina lakum am ala Allahi taftarun. Did Allah give you the permission to say that, or are you inventing a lie on Allah? This is the deen. And this deen is a total and complete way of life. You either try to live it in accordance with that, sincerely trying to live your life in accordance with it, or you are sincerely trying to live your life in accordance to other than that. Belief, action, it's all iman. You're the first one talking about iman. It's qawlun wa amalun wa i'tiqad. It's a statement, an action, and a belief. And then you're going to talk about if you believe okay, everything else okay. Where you get that from? Brothers and sisters in Islam, we got to start to understand this deen and to be a little more focused and to stop being among those people who draw the line and to start understanding that we got to be considerate at times. And at times we don't need to be considerate. But we got to have some knowledge to know when we supposed to be considered and when we not. When we have the right to say that's sunnah and that's bid'ah. When we have the right to say that's halal and that's haram. And we don't ever, never, ever have the right to do that until we can say, call Allah, call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Brothers, we know that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِي وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That Allah does not forgive that you ascribe partners to Him, that you commit shirk, but He forgives everything other than that to whoever He pleases. This is an ayah that many of us know and all of us know. As soon as we see one of our brothers mistakenly, and most of the time it is mistakenly, if it's not all of the time, and I'm going to say why. When we find our brother mistakenly falling into shirk, we're going to say Allah ain't going to forgive that shirk. He's outside of Islam. He's a kafir because he fell into shirk. Don't tell me, akhi. I know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that that was shirk. And that brother right there committing that shirk after I quoted the hadith on him, the English translation, because he don't know no Arabic. And if he quoted it in Arabic, he don't understand it anyway. And if he understood it, maybe he don't even have the book where it comes from.
and sat with the people who explained it to him, to the people who know. That brother fell into it, he out of it, kick him outside of the deen. Akhi, is any one of us as sharp as to say, me, I can't never fall into shirk because I got my deen together like that? And if you do, tell me what you benefit from the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he teaches us. Man, subhanAllah. No one made me forget that except shaitan. The hadith. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. And this is the authentic hadith, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from committing shirk with you. I seek refuge in you from ascribing fondness to you by committing shirk. And I seek for the things that I know. Meaning when I know better, and when I know that something is shirk, I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from practicing that shirk, and I know better. And I seek your forgiveness for the things that I don't know. When you don't know, and you might fall into shirk because of your love for the kuffar, you might fall into that shirk and you don't know, you should be seeking forgiveness for it. And don't think that your brother can't fall into it mistakenly either. Mistakenly. And that he's seeking forgiveness for it. But you, because you don't know nothing about forgiveness, you're going to take him outside of Islam. I bet that brother is happy that his Lord, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is ghafoor. And that he can please ghafoor, the forgiving. We can please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala if we do as he says, and stay away from that which he has prohibited, and believe in what he wants us to believe, and stay away from that which he wants us to stay away from. We can please Allah. But if we were to try to please the people, tell me which one among us can please the people. And alhamdulillah that Allah hasn't made it compulsory on us to please the people, because the people won't forgive us of our mistakes. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will. And we need to learn that we need to be the first people doing it, as we need to be forgiven just like we need to forgive. And we probably need to be forgiven more than we need to forgive. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to forgive us. This ayah where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying that indeed Allah will not forgive that you ascribe partners to him, that means intentionally knowing better, being arrogant and ignorant and doing it anyway. This is the shirk that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala won't forgive. Not the shirk that people didn't intend in their heart to do. We left kufr, most of us. And we fell into some shirk after we left that kufr. Can somebody say that that's what we were intending to do? We were intending to be mushrikeen. We were intending to be kuffar, and that's why we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I don't think any one of us thinks about his brother that he left kufr, the kufr that we see with our own two eyes every day. I don't think that we think our brother has left that kufr to be a mushrik or to be a kafir. Why you leave kufr to be a kafir when all you have to do is just remain a kafir? You're a mushrik anyway. Why you gotta leave shirk to be a mushrikeen when you already committed shirk? We gotta stop thinking these thoughts about our brothers in Islam. And our sisters in Islam. people haven't left this kufr to be kafirs, or shirk to be mushrikeen.
And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us that shirk wa kufr that we might fall in, and I should say they, because that's the way we always say it, that shirk wa kufr that they may fall into could possibly be forgiven if it wasn't done intentionally, knowingly and willingly. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Ibn Majah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالْنِسْيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has overlooked for my ummah their mistakes, their forgetfulness, and what they have been forced to do. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith from among the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the finest guidance. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this hadith that we all have memorized, inshallah, and that we understand for ourselves clearly. Let's start understanding it for our brothers. And that is the hadith that was collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكَمُ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا فَإِذَا أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the hakim, or the one that is trying to know a verdict in Islam, whether it's in statement like dua or zikr, or in belief in the punishment of the grave or the blessings in the grave or what have you, from the beliefs of the Muslims or from our practices, that when he seeks to make that verdict and he's correct, he's rewarded twice with two rewards. And if he's incorrect or wrong, he's rewarded with one reward. The ulama of Islam say two rewards, one for intending to be correct and being correct, and one reward for intending to be correct and he doesn't get that other reward for being wrong, not being correct. So people, at times they strive to be correct and they're either one of the two. But if they were sincerely trying to obey Allah, and they were incorrect, then they get their reward from Allah, not from us. Because we can't reward nobody for being wrong, can we? Brothers and sisters in Islam, this issue of making a Muslim a kafir, or a Muslim a deviant, or a Muslim a sinner, is a serious issue in Islam. And the ulama didn't take it lightly because they understood the Quran and the Sunnah. And I see that the time is getting a little drawn out, so I'll just take these two short statements, inshallah ta'ala, to see where the ulama were, where the people who we respect because of their knowledge of this deed, where they stood on this issue of making a Muslim a kafir, or a Muslim a deviant, or a Muslim a sinner. Imam al-Nawawi, Abu Zakariya, Yahya ibn Sharaf, rahimahullah, the one who has written some of the finest books in Islam, like the 40 Hadith and the Al-Azkar, his book on Dhikr and Dua, the book that's so great that the scholars say you should sell your house and buy that book. Because your house that shelters you from the elements won't do you no good if you don't know how to keep your tongue wet
with the remembrance of Allah.
La ilaha illallah.
The book Riyad al-Saliheen. This is Imam al-Nawawi. And he says, and I'm just going to give the translation, and he makes this statement and his explanation of Sahih Muslim in the book of Iman. In the book of Iman. Imam al-Nawawi says, as I attempt to translate, and I command you to have knowledge, that the position of the people who are on the truth is, they don't make a kafir out of anyone who faces our Qibla, the Kaaba. The Qibla meaning facing the Kaaba. And I know in Philadelphia there's a big difference among that. But Ahlul Qibla, the people who say that, when I stand up to make Salah, I'm facing in the direction of the Kaaba. And I know this for a certainty, that both sides on this issue say, I'm facing the Kaaba. I'm talking about all of those people. That from the people of the truth, they say, we don't make a kafir out of anyone who faces that Kaaba from any sin that he makes. And we don't make him a kafir from any desire that he follows or any bid'ah that he practices. This is the position of the people on the truth. And he goes on to say, rahimahullah, but if a person knowingly and intentionally and willingly knows or rejects something from Islam that is known without any shadow of a doubt, with any difference whatsoever from any two Muslims, if he denies, rejects knowingly and intentionally and willingly one of these things that is known by the deen absolutely, then this person is the one that we judge as an apostate, as the one who has left Islam and disbelieved. But he goes on to make that conditional, accept that. He says this is in general, that if you willingly, knowingly, with knowledge and clear evidence, know that something is against Islam, disbelief in shirk and deviance, and you say, I'm going to choose that deviance over guidance, and still have the nerve to claim to be a Muslim, you are the apostate, you are the one outside of Islam. Accept. And when he's saying accept, he's saying that they're accept, meaning there are people who will disbelieve him, not practice and not say something that is very fundamental of Islam, but we won't make him a kafir. And he will do it willingly and intentionally. But why? Imam Nawawi goes on to say, except that he is a person that has recently accepted Islam. If someone has recently accepted Islam and he says, I'm fornicate, you say, you can't fornicate, it's haram in Islam to fornicate. Man, come on, look at the time we live in and look where we live in at. Can't mean that. And he continues, he knows, he rejected willingly. We don't say that this person is a kafir or apostate outside of Islam because he has just accepted Islam. And he needs time to let it soak in and understand. He goes on to say, or the person who lives, he's saying, bibadiyatin ba'ida wa nahwihi. The people who live out there in the desert, meaning away from the centers of knowledge, or people like that. People like that, in many cases, if not all cases, refers to us here in America. We are away from the centers of learning Islam properly. We are away from the language of the Muslims. Because of that, that can make us among the people who reject something commonly known and understood from this deen and not be considered kafirs.
not be considered prostate because of the situation we find ourselves in. This is the position of the people on the truth. And he goes on to say, Rahimahullah, that if he continues, after some time and some knowledge, and I'm paraphrasing his statement because it seems a little difficult to give a straight translation, that after some time and after the knowledge has come to him and he's not in a situation that he's newly embraced in Islam or away from the centers of knowledge, but that he comes to understand and be in Islam for a while and to know what's really going on, now he knows, man, every Muslim I meet keeps saying I gotta stop that fornicating. It comes a time where he realizes it's really haram. After that, at that point, if he continues, then we have to say you are kafir. Then and only then do we say that he's a kafir. But Imam Nawawi, in giving his example, saying that if you say that zina or fornication or drinking alcohol or killing or something like that from the things that are haram, clearly known by every Muslim, those things, if you fall into rejection of them, but you're new in Islam and you're away from the centers of learning, the people on the truth will not say that person is a kafir. This is from the statement of Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah. And we have a statement from another Imam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. And before we begin give his statement, I wanted to precede that with a statement about him for those people, so that we can tell the people, inshallah ta'ala, who seem to have an aversion to that name. And I used to be among the people who used to have an aversion to the name Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Because the people who I met after my Islam, they used to mention the name Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah so much that they were placing him, in my eyesight, as the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time I heard that name, I said, Shaykh al-Islam, who he? Who that joker to be coming up? Shaykh al-Islam, who he? Who made him my Lord, and when he says something, I gotta follow him? So I used to just hear it so much till I just got tired. I don't want to hear it. Shaykh al-Islam said, what? Shut up. But after I came to learn and to know, I became to love and to respect Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and all of the scholars of this deen. And all of the scholars of this deen. He says about himself, as I translate, indeed, I am the most strongest, or among the most strongest of people in the prohibition of saying, or in the prohibition of attributing a particular Muslim to being a kafir or a fasiq or a basic sinner. He said he is the strongest person among the strongest of people from making any particular person among the Muslims a kafir or a deviant or a sinner. This is what he says about himself. And anyone who has read the works of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he can see that maybe he can't quote one person that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said from among the Muslims who were deviant, clear in their deviance, that such and such is a kafir. He went on to say about this principle that we hope that inshallah ta'ala is understood and practiced by us as we inshallah ta'ala love to be among the people of the truth. Shaykh al-Islam says, as I translate, and no one has the right to make any Muslim a kafir because of some mistake or some misunderstanding that that Muslim may have, until the proof has been given, and it has been made clear to that person the proof. Meaning not that I made it clear, meaning that the person said, I clearly understand the proof that you're bringing me. And he went on to say that a person who we know for certainty that he is a Muslim, that he is inside Islam, that he doesn't leave Islam on any doubt, and that he doesn't leave Islam until the proof has been given and all of the obscurities or that which would prevent him from understanding the truth is removed. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying this. So long as someone says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he makes wudu, he makes salah facing the Kaaba, that person doesn't become a kafir until he falls into some kufr. And he knows that it's kufr, and nothing has prevented him from understanding that it's kufr, and then he intentionally, willingly leaps into it. Meaning that Muslim has to say about himself, kufr is more beloved to me than iman, and that's why I want to follow kufr instead of iman. La ilaha illallah. He gotta say, those truths that you brought me, I understand it. I see it just the way you see it. And I see that if I continue the way I'm going, I'm going to be apostate, a kafir, headed for the hellfire, and he just continues. Tell me which Muslim you met said that about himself. That I know the proof you've given to me is the truth. And I understand it, and I'm just as certain as you are that if I continue, I will be a kafir, headed for the hellfire, and continues anyway. Which Muslim have we met saying that about himself? None. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in this last statement, after he had debated some people from among the deviant people, if I were to say what you're saying, I would be a kafir. Meaning, if I were to say that statement of kufr, that you're saying, I'd be a kafir, because I know that is kufr and shirk, and I know that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will not forgive the shirk that someone knowingly, intentionally, willingly commits. He said, if I were to say that what you were saying, I would be a kafir, but I'm not calling you a kafir because something is preventing you from understanding it the way I'm understanding it. What is that prevents him? Allah knows best. Allah knows best. What prevents him from understanding? Allah knows best. But everybody has the possibility of listening to what is being said and just misunderstanding.